remember telling you, if you can do anything with my life, I give it to you. And God has done something, I think, with my life. And one of those things, and I was trying to think back, I was like, well, you know, I really didn't drink anymore, and you know, but I had grown to have a desire and a taste for it. And the taste, you know, if you've never had that taste, then I praise God, don't gain it. It's not a taste you need. But I had a craving for it. And I believe one of the things that helped me overcome that was I was rebaptized. Because by being rebaptized, I was saying once again, Lord God, I die to myself. I die to my desires. I give you my life. Use it. Do with me what you can. And so when I was asked to rebaptize these two people, I said, well, absolutely. When do they want to do it? Well, we met in the Whetstone River. It wasn't a real deep spot. And then I told Angela after, well, if Haley and Eli would come up here, I told Angela after I did Eli first, and I said, halfway down I remembered, I usually have help. So Dave, I probably should have brought you some waders too. Because it was down, I'm like, oh no, I'm going to drop him in the river. I've had people float, and that's just kind of hard, believe it or not. And how I just kind of grabbed her by her shirt and pulled her down under. But the water was just barely up above our knees. So if that gives you an idea, my knees aren't real far up on my legs. So, but anyhow, but I got to rebaptize these guys. And they were telling God again in their own hearts and publicly, Lord, we give you our lives. Do with them as you will. And I know they're both seeking God. They're both recent graduates and they're seeking God on what to do with their lives. I've been there, trust me. Lord, I know you've got a plan for me. What is it? It took a while. It took a while for me to grow. And sometimes God will just move you right into what you're going to start in on. And other times it's like, okay, I'm not getting it. But as you'll see, you're going to learn more and more. So, but what we'd like to do is present you today with a certificate. Now, most of the time we have on here, you know, we've baptized people in hot tubs over in Marion at the hotel. It was really warm. It was nice because it was cold out. And the pool was really cold, which, by the way, the water was not warm by any means. I was wearing waders, and they were slightly insulated. And it's like, I'm comfortable, but I couldn't imagine being these two. I could see goosebumps on their goosebumps. But anyhow, so, you know, we got the Whetstone River, the Rawlins property is where it is. And so, you know, it was such a good time, and the mom and dad were able to, you know, Dave told me, he said, you know, I'm actually just working on a combine right around the corner. And it's like, how did God work that out? I mean, he just worked it so much that it was like, boom, he was within a mile of the place. I could have been in Utica. I could have been anywhere where they called me. But it was just right around the corner, and it was during mom's lunch break. She was able to come and be a part of it. So this is how special this is. So I want you guys to understand that, you know, you are stepping into a realm. You're stepping into a realm where you say, God, here's my life. And, you know, I can tell you right now, my life didn't go where I thought it was going. No way, shape, nor form. I was supposed to be a lineman. That didn't happen. I've been told I'd made a good lineman, but evidently I think I made maybe a better preacher. I think so. But Eli, there you are, sir. Congratulations. Haley, congratulations. All right, let's give them a welcome. All right. Praise God. Well, the junior church is dismissed at this time. Yeah, we have a wedding party that has to go and get ready, and you know, Phil, Rob, and I were talking yesterday during the thing, and we were like, you know, you do realize that in a roundabout way, we're all related now, because my nephew married Rob's niece, and Rob's daughter married Phil's sons. I was like, I'm telling you, the county's getting inbred. Got to bring more hillbillies up. I'm just kidding. I don't mind. We can bring more hillbillies up. They're a good class of people to know. Praise God. Well, last week, I began talking a message about our speech. I read to you where Jesus said that we would be judged for every idle word. We know that that word idle means every word that we're spoken in insincerity, meaning we don't believe what we spoke. So when you declare Jesus Christ the Lord, and I've known many people who have, are we having an issue? Connect to the Wi-Fi. We're trying, this is an iPhone, it's a new iPhone, so it should, but my phone, I could be sitting next to the Wi-Fi and lose it, so, which happened last week, that's why we're using his. But anyhow, but we know that the word idle doesn't mean just sitting still, it means it wasn't meant in sincerity. It's like telling somebody you love them and you really hate them. That's not insincere, and you will be judged for those words. Telling somebody, oh, bless you. Bless your heart. Anybody ever heard that one? That's a favorite one in the church. Oh, bless their heart. And then they turn around and talk about them. That's how they justify. Oh, we're talking, we bless them, but we're going to talk about you. I know, is it Shonda Pierce, she uses that as a joke. Oh, bless their heart. You know. That is what a lot of the church does. They don't mean, they want to talk about you. And so we're going to give account for all of those words. Because we don't, and but I believe as much as anything, we're going to give account for all the words that we think we're speaking in faith and we don't believe them. Well, God's got this. Well, then why don't you let go of the reins? And that's why I wanted to tell you guys, if you're going to give it to God, you got to let go of those reins and go where He leads you. My journey took me places I never thought I'd see. Seen people, met people. And yet here I am. I'm back and God is using me where I started from. And so today we're going to get back into the Word. And we're going to start in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're going to go to verse 5. All right. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of a sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. In other words, you can't have once, you can't be straddling the fence, folks. You got to be on one side of that fence. Do I believe God has forgiven my sins? Yes or no? Well, I'm, you know, and I know the Catholic Church was one of them that used to teach this. I don't think they do as much anymore. But self-flagellation. They would literally whip themselves with a whip, thinking they were now purifying their sins. They didn't believe that the blood of Christ paid the penalty for our sin. And so they thought they could do things in the flesh that would do it. They would try to teach repentance, but yet they really didn't because they didn't believe it. They were teaching repentance through, well, you know, you need to give us an offering. We don't give offerings to pay for our sins. We give offerings to bless the Lord. Our tithe actually is part of what God started in the beginning. And all we had to not touch was one stupid tree. That was it. One tree. Out of all the billions of trees on this planet, one was all we were told not to touch. But we all know that the time you tell a human being not to do something, it's in our nature. Gotta touch it. Gotta touch it. It just, it's inevitable. You know, right now, Carter, he's at that stage where we can tell him, don't do that. You know what he's going to do? He's going to look at you and he's going to do it. And then he's going to run giggling because he thinks he got away with something. But James is telling us that if we're trying to speak in faith, we're asking God things. Lord, take care of my children. How many of you finally come to the conclusion you can't do a thing to protect your children? You really can't. I mean, you can do little bits, okay? Don't get me wrong on that. But ultimately, I can't send my child to school. I can't trust God to protect them. I can't send my child here or there. I can't trust God to protect them. That is such a truckload of bull manure. Because you don't trust God, period. It's not just with your children, it's with anything. I can't give you 10%, Lord. You don't trust God with it. Well, I'm giving it to the pastor there. No, you're giving it to God. My pay doesn't go up or down because we had a big offering. You're not giving it to man, you give it to God. Now, if your children are your source of worry, stop. You sit down. Go wherever you have to go. If you got a place where you just, you know, you can be quiet and alone with God, go sit down and talk with the Lord. Say, Father, I'm having a hard time with this. But I give you my children. You know, we had to come to that point real quick. God, I can only do so much to protect my children. And it's not that my children were never in danger. We've looked back at all the times that God has just protected our family. Well, that was a sure lucky miss. Oh, and a doctor telling me, you dodged a bullet. No, I didn't dodge a bullet. God stopped the bullet. It was a hair's width from me being paralyzed. Pull one of your hairs. That is 1/1000th of an inch. Unless it's a gray hair, then it's 2. I've measured them. Don't know why they get thicker, but they were consistently thicker. Who stopped it? God. God stopped it from going any further. Now, he said, don't let that man think he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is unstable in all of his ways. I honestly have a hard time trying to figure people out. Are you going to stand with the Lord or are you not? There's right and there's wrong. That is it. So we've got to understand, we've got to live with the faith in God. Lord, I trust you with my family. And by the way, you're part of that. You're a part of your family, so God is going to protect you. I knew preachers that preached faith, but yet they were afraid to fly. Isn't that a double standard? You're telling other people to overcome their fears and live in faith, but yet you're afraid to get in an airplane and fly. Not because you're claustrophobic, but you need to deal with that. And I'm not going to lie, it can be a little claustrophobic sometimes. I've been in some pretty small planes. I've been in great big planes. And early on, my parents had taught me about faith. Because I'll tell you, there were times we had to live by faith. That's all we had. And I've lived with that, and I've told Angela, we talked about it every time we'd get on a plane. When we'd go to some of these conferences, it's us. And we're like, okay, we got small children. What happens if this plane goes down? What happens if we die? And we looked at each other and said, well, God's not finished with us yet. We have a call. God will keep this plane in the air. If the wings fall off, the angels are going to have to grab hold of where they fell off and carry this fuselage safely to the ground. No harm will come near us. Back in the 90s, you know, we've seen all these pop-up jet companies, cheap economy jet companies. We had gone to Miami, and we flew on Value Jet. We flew down to Miami, came back, you know, no problems. 1 week later, that plane crashed in the Everglades. We knew, we'd met the stewardesses. Did God have, I'm not going to say God wasn't there to protect those people. I mean, who knows what they might have been protected from if they knew him. All I'm saying is, I know about our life. I'm not responsible for yours. Here might become a sweat kick in the seat of the pants. I'm not responsible for your life. You are. A lot of preachers want to get you relying on them. I don't want you relying. Jesus didn't want you relying on him. That's why he kept telling his disciples, how long do I have to have you? How long do I have to keep carrying you? The time is coming when you can't rely on me. And my own children, I carry them for a certain point, and then it's like, you're on your own. You've got to fly. I want eagles, not chickens. Chickens look like they're doing a lot, don't they? Man, they flap them wings, and the feathers are going everywhere. But what's a chicken get? Maybe 5 or 6 feet off the ground? That was an awesome thing the other day. They're standing in the river. I was scouting spots, you know, trying not to fall. And I'm walking in the river, and I caught this shadow of a bird, and I look up, and here's a bald eagle flying over top of the river. He's searching for lunch. And I just stood there and watched him. He just kind of flew below treetops. It was an awesome thing. And that's what I want. I want my children to be eagles, not buzzards. You know, you get them way up high, you can't tell the difference. But I can promise you, the eagle's going to win in a fight. Now, James chapter 3. This is a little lengthier passage. I believe in reading the entire scripture in context if it's required, and I believe this one's required. So this is a little longer. Indeed, we make sure I'm in the right one. Yep, 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. That's why we have got to be careful, especially in this time right now, with our words. We don't know what fire we're starting. I know people are fired up about their beliefs, and I guarantee you right now you and I have some different beliefs. That's fine. You're entitled. I served for that right. I gave up my right for 4 years to speak what I wanted to speak. And now that I have a platform in which I can tell you what the Word of God says, I still have to curtail sometimes what I think. Sometimes what I want to do. I don't want to pray for that sign. I don't. I want to deal with it. But I'm not. Unless God opens the door and presents the opportunity for me to have an intelligent conversation with somebody. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. With the very same tongue that you curse somebody that you don't agree with, you're sitting here trying to tell me you're blessing your Father in heaven. With the same tongue. And out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Now, you know where James got this? Can anybody guess where James learned this from? from Jesus. He learned it from Jesus because it was not the custom of the Jews to do such things. Does a spring send forth fresh water and a bitter fruit and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives or grape vine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. We talked about that, the fruits of a tree. That's how we're judged. We're judged by our words. Are we outbringing peace or are we outbringing strife? Sometimes there's no way to get away from strife, but you have to have the right words. So many people are running around and they claim to be spirit-filled Christians, and yet they're running their mouths and they're not even thinking about the consequences. So many, you know, we're more like the disciples of Jesus' time, who they understood they had power. But yet when people didn't believe like them, they wanted to call fire down and destroy. And Jesus said, "You don't know what your spirit you're of. Just because I don't agree with somebody doesn't mean I got to kill them. And sometimes I can kill them with my words." That's why I tell you, when you're witnessing to somebody, make sure that you're sharing God's love and not condemnation. Because when you bring condemnation, people feel that, and they instantly start putting more bricks in that wall. I don't want that condemnation. It was even Gandhi who said, "I like your God, I don't like your Christians." Unfortunately, Gandhi's still in hell. He rejected Jesus Christ over people's attitudes and their own undiscipline instead of finding out who God is. Religion hurts. It doesn't bring people to God. Jesus did not come to bring religion. He came to bring a path to the Father. Jesus is God. He, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father, they're three in one, but they are also three individuals. Okay? But here's one common thing the Holy Spirit and Jesus have in common. They both came to direct people and point us to the Father, to bring us back to the Father. We always like, I've heard message after message through the years about Jesus bridging the gap between man. But nobody wants to meet the Father. We want to stop with the Holy Spirit. We want to stop with Jesus. The Holy Father is all of that. And they think it's so important, they said, "We're not bringing glory to ourselves, but we're here to bring glory to our Father." And yet with our words, we bring disgrace to our Father. We condemn people. We think we're telling them the truth. And sometimes, you know, and here's the sad part is when you do tell people the truth, they don't want to hear it. And then there's a part where even Paul said, "Let that person go, that their flesh may be destroyed, but their soul saved." That's a hard one to do. That is hard to do. They know the truth. But you're going to have to let them go. People make their own decisions. I can tell my boys time and time again, don't do that. I've been there. Let me show you the scar. Here, I got one right here on my leg from it. I got one right here on my head from it. Don't do this. They do it, and guess what? "Hey, Dad, want to check out my scar?" But they're going to make their own mistakes. And that's a hard thing, I know, as a father, to sit back and, "You're going to do it. I know. You're going to make the mistake. You can preach and preach and preach. Now you're going to have to walk love." Because we each have to find our way to God in our own journey. Not that there's multiple ways to God. Let's get that understood. One way to God, Jesus Christ. But our paths on how we got there, mine took me all over the world. Just to get me back to here. Now, we have to learn to tame our tongue. There's a time to speak. You know, as Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything under the sun. There's a season. We're about to hit the harvest season. And a planting season. A growing season. There's a season for you to speak. And there's a season for you to be quiet. There's a time for those words. And sometimes when people, and this is where I was going, when people think that their whole call in life is to make sure that they shove what God has done down other people's throats, they're not taking it. I can tell you right now, when I was in rebellion, okay? Flat, I'm not going to say I backslid. I was in rebellion. I did it, and I knew what I was doing. And every time I go to Gate 2 Street, backside of Kadena, that's where all the bars were. Them dadgum Christians were out there witnessing. I always went to the other side of the road and let my buddies catch them. I didn't want the conviction. But the problem is, I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was convicting me when I came around the corner and I saw him. The Holy Spirit was convicting me as I got in the car that night to go have fun. The Holy Spirit was convicting me the whole time I was there. I didn't need somebody else. Sometimes you need to tell people you love them. Sometimes they got to get to that point themselves too. I've shared before about how when we were setting up street evangelism, the thing I despise this now, setting out in front of Walmart. Man, we were worse than the Hare Krishnas. All we need to do is wear a robe, shave our head, and hand out people flower tambourines. Do you know you're going to hell? Is that exactly how you introduce the Father of Lights? The God of love? Somebody who died for you? Do you know you're going to hell? And I was stopped dead in my tracks when that guy looked at me, and he was about Pat's age. And he looked at me and he said, yeah. And he kept walking. I was like, you didn't tell me how to handle this. Well, I don't think it was you, but I do pray that guy found Jesus. Because the way I introduced it to him, I wouldn't have. Looking back, I wouldn't have listened to me. I didn't care about him. I cared about another notch in a belt. We need to quit keeping track. Do you know what? There was something in particular God held against Moses. Phil, you remember what it was? He took a census. He kept track on how many people he had. He was told not to. What do we do? How many you got in your church? All of them. It's the stupidest thing out of a Christian's mouth. How many do you got in your church? Who cares? You're not here. We had one lady, I hadn't seen her in 10 years. How's our church doing? Not this one. Another one we were part of that had folded. The pastor left town. Shut the doors. Sold everything. How's our church doing? It's been closed for about 6 years now. I know, sweetie. We have got to make sure that when we're trying to tell people about Jesus, that we are not pushing them away. We got to make sure that when we're talking, just like the situation I alluded to earlier, I'm not cursing that man. I bless him. Because you need to understand, when you do good, the Bible tells us, when you do good for those that do evil against you, you're actually heaping coals of fire upon their head. In other words, you're heaping God's conviction. God can get through a stone-cold heart. you think that condemning people about their lifestyle is going to get it. Trust me, it didn't work. It wasn't any of those people out there trying to condemn me that night. It was about what my heart knew was true. It was the fact that God was keeping me alive in spite of my stupid self. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I just read out of James where he said blessing and cursing shouldn't come out of the same mouth. You can't be a spring of life if you're bitter. So here's something to help you right now. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're going to be bringing forth bitterness in your love. You've got to forgive. This week, I don't even remember how we got on it. And we were talking about something, and I brought up something. And I just stood there, and I just looked at her, and I said, I guess I've got unforgiveness towards this person. It started when I was 7. Just ill treatment. Just ill treatment. That's all it was. And I said, I guess I've got to forgive her. Which is like, she just looked at me kind of that sheepish grin. I was like, Lord, she was miserable her entire life. She really was. She just unfortunately helped take it out on me. And I wasn't the only one, but I just seemed to be a favorite target. It's now up to me to pray for her. We have got to make sure that we're bringing forth fresh water. You know, Phil is, people say bottled water is bottled water. I say, no, it ain't. Everybody's got their different taste buds. So what one person thinks is okay, another person's like, I'm not exactly wild about it. There's a certain type of water I like, and a certain type I don't. And what we had been stocking for our cups up here was the water I don't like, because my wife likes it. But Phil found a case of the water I like in my office. I didn't know it was there. It was under somebody's playpen. And so I have the water I like. Not everybody's going to like your water. But the right water for them is out there. You following me? You're not called to reach everybody. You're called to reach the ones God sends you. There's going to be people you can't convince. There are going to be people you can't get through. I have been able to talk to people. God has given me a platform in which I can go in sometimes to the hardest of hearts and talk with people. Because a lot of times I find out they're military. A lot of them are Vietnam era. And they have legitimate reasons. Our country did them a bad disservice. And I'm talking our politicians. If you think it's not important that we pay attention to who we're putting in office, breathe it. It won't hurt you. Want to bet? Go get in that black smoke. It ain't going to hurt you. Now, if you can't breathe, you can't breathe. Whether it's burning oil or Roundup. But God has given me the opportunity to talk to these guys. If going to Paris Island being a Marine was only just so I had the opportunity to talk with these guys. And what our government did in listening to celebrities, listen, if you're listening to it, shut them off. Please, for the love of God, turn off the celebrities and quit listening to them. They are paid actors. Do you know what the word, the Greek word for an actor was? Hypocrite. That's exactly what it means. It means you are one thing, but you're actually something else. You're pretending to be something. Because believe it or not, women were not allowed to be actors. So a lot of times it referred to the guy pretending to be the woman in the scene. Honestly, wouldn't want to have been either one of them. What do you mean this is a kissing scene? That's a dude. Ain't happening. But we have got to start listening to what God our Father is saying. We got to start praying. I don't care who you like and dislike. Pray for them. Now, I'm going to read something that Jesus taught us. Because, you know, we know Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter. We know where they got their source of information, right? I mean, you should know. Most of these men were there and they heard it. They may not have been close followers of Jesus, but they were there. This isn't going to come up on the screen. There's this little passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 5 we call the Beatitudes. Verse 43. You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your neighbor, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. I think that's perfect for this time we're in right now. I think it's perfect. We need to be praying for our leaders. You know, we met yesterday at 9 o'clock and we prayed. We got together and we prayed for this country. We prayed for everybody in it. We prayed for peace. The reason things, they say the reason why evil succeeds is because good men do nothing. Well, you know what? I've always been a person who, when there's a problem, I'd rather go to the source of what's really causing the problem as opposed to dealing with the symptoms. Okay? You know, as a mechanic, when I would work on loaders and we had a leaky seal, you know, I've seen people try to tie rags around them to keep the oil from squirting out until they can at least get some. A Band-Aid isn't going to fix what's wrong with this country. Okay? But what I do know is it's going to take God to fix what's wrong with this country. And the first place he needs to start is in the church. Because the church is not about prayer anymore. The church is about industry. We've got to keep growing every year. We got to grow 3%. Our stock market has to grow every year. Everything has to expand. How much is enough? When is enough enough? Instead of abandoning communities with churches, I say, how about you plant a church? Kind of like the disciples did in the community. Don't suck everybody out of the community to come to your church. Start one right there. Why? Because I understand, first off, our power as a believer. And we have got the power over the enemy. What's the problem with this country? It's hatred. Where does hatred come from? From the enemy. It doesn't come from God. It's a lack of God. Because God is love. So if we start praying, we start representing God fully like we're supposed to be, I believe we'll start seeing this country turn. And if it doesn't turn, Jesus, come quickly. So in your speech, if you're speaking something in faith, if you're standing on something in faith, you'd better stand in it. I don't care what the situation looks like. You know, just this past week, which I got two things to hit here on this. I forgot to mention it. Just this past week, we put a prayer request out on the church family on Facebook. First off, within an hour, a family member of ours got a message, "You guys have COVID in your church?" No! Read the stinking prayer request! 700 miles away! I'm sorry, I'm a little passionate about this. I had to calm down for a couple days. I was so angry at the gossip machine. People need to just keep their mouths shut. If you didn't get it from the horse's mouth, Mr. Ed didn't speak to you. So we got somebody in the neighborhood, somebody in the community, they got COVID. How dumb can you be and still breathe oxygen? I rarely believe something I got second or third, let alone fourth hand, offline. That's just all there is to it. So having said that, if you feel the need to put a prayer request, do not put any details. Period. I need prayer. If you need me to know the details, shoot me a message. That's where they stop. I've oftentimes, because if y'all have paid attention, this is our second At His Feet family thing we started. Because years ago, we started getting prayer requests and people were getting... Other people were knowing the business of people that shouldn't have, and I didn't like that. And this time around, it was just supposed to be for people that actually attend here. Well, COVID kind of made things where we really needed to have people that could get to the message. And we are. We're getting lots of people still, even if they're just passing through. They're hearing a little bit. Little seeds count. Okay? Mustard seed faith. So, but anyhow... I debated on whether we just start a whole nother page just for those of you who attend. And if you were to leave, you come off of it. But nobody else needs to know your business. Okay? If you need us to know some details, shoot us the details. I've never told anybody about your details. But we have got to be careful. Well, this is what I heard. You know, some of you have heard me talk about it before, but years ago, it came out, Isaac Martin asked his dad, Jerry, one day, he said, "I saw a pastor with a blonde up at the ice cream shop. It's my sister." You know, he didn't know her. He hadn't met her. But how quickly could that have turned? How quickly? One, we need to watch our mouths when we're around other people of the opposite sex. I'm not going to be stupid and say guys don't talk about guy stuff. We talk about passing gas. Just all there is to it. And it's a funny subject usually. Yeah, it's usually funny. And I know I just offended some people online with religious spirits out the wazoo. Jesus talked about crap. What do you think the word dung means? He did whatever he could, I don't think intentionally, but he didn't beat around the bush on it. But we need to be careful with our speech, even around women, men. You don't need to talk about this subject with them. It's none of their business. And same thing, ladies. There are certain things we don't want to know. Just putting that out there. I've had some things, I'm like... Stop, for the love of God. Stop, please, please. I want to sleep for the next year without therapy. That's why if you're ever having spousal problems, my spouse will be in there. And if it's something that I deem that I need to check out on, I will step out of the room. I'm not going to get in with that. It's a tough road to hoe nowadays with... No matter what you look at, you're like, are you kidding me? There's no decency anymore. But, and I'm telling you, part of it's because the church decided to let go. They got women on the stages in some of these churches that look like strippers. And I ain't talking about makeup and earrings. I'm talking about the short skirts. What, you would rather have us down to our ankles? Well, yeah, I understand. You can have religion down to here, or try to have holiness down to here and religion up to here. Lust is lust. It'll see through that. But ladies, and I've talked about this a couple weeks, we don't need to instigate it. Guys, same thing. We don't need to instigate. People have a hard enough problem. And that's why the Bible tells us that in our liberty, if we call somebody to sin, we call somebody to fall, it's sin to us. People don't like preaching that. They like to preach sloppy grace. You can just do whatever you want. No, you cannot. It's all legal for you. It's not beneficial. I mean, I like driving fast. I'm not going to lie. Man, I like to cruise on right down the road, about 90. 100 gets a little scary, especially in pickup trucks. 90 is about as fast. But boy, on my bike, 90 was just, oh, I think it just settled in. You can ask Rob. He's like, would you slow down? Now, Pat, he would just keep up with me. We just, but it was stupid. I'm not going to lie. One false move, that speed, at any speed, you're a grease spot. But I didn't ride in fear. Because to be honest with you, I've told you, a 747 could fall out of the sky right now flying over Morrow County. And all your worrying and all your fears, I'm not going to fly. I'm not going to do anything dangerous. According to the world right now, breathing is dangerous. It's always been dangerous. I've been around stuff that is proven to kill people. But we've got to be careful what we're putting out with our tongue. As James put it, that this is the only thing that defiles the whole body. Because we know what's in the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. So if you smash your fingers and that whole line of expletives that you keep asking God to help you with comes flying out of your tongue, it's about time you start crucifying that. Now, that doesn't mean that whenever I've smashed my fingers that I jump up and down yelling, hallelujah, praise Jesus, all glory to God, and go into a preaching mode. It's usually I do a lot of dancing. And literally, Yosemite Sam. Jesus, oh Jesus, that hurt. Nuts. Well, it's what you meant. That's what some people, well, it's what you meant. Now, if I'd meant to say that word, I would have said that word. There were certain words in my vocabulary, even in rebellion, there was one word I never used. Ever. I never took God's name in vain, the way we describe it. And I only used a couple of the other words a few times. And that's coming, being surrounded by it, out of every other word by some of these guys. Yeah, somebody, you've been in the military, you know what I'm talking about. Every other word. That's not realistic in the movies. Yes, it is. It shouldn't be, but it is. And that's why we have to be careful with what we're allowing to dominate. Like I said, I'm not offended by the word. I'm not thrilled by the word either. It's not going to make or break me. So let's make sure that we're allowing this tongue to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because our words bring life and our words bring death. And our words are going to come out because of what's in here. what we've allowed in here. If we've allowed jealousy in our heart, we're going to attack. If we're allowing lust, if we're allowing hatred, this is what's happening in our country. People never got hold of love. Y'all, I'm sure, have seen the wanted picture of the guy hitting the cop with a baseball bat, right? They've got two pictures of him. He's wanted, I forget, Portland maybe? But he's wanted for, he took a baseball bat and hit a cop in the head, and the cop's clinging on life support right now. But his shirt says the answer is love. Is that love? Seriously. That's what's hypocritical about what's happening. It's not love. This is what they think is love, but it's not. Is it wrong to hate people of color? Absolutely. We are all the same. You skin us down, we all bleed red. We are all the same underneath. And I'm going to tell you, and I've shared this before, but I'm going to tell you a little secret. I don't believe God ever meant for there to be all these different nationalities. Adam and Eve were one. All of us came from Adam. Adam was black, he was yellow, he was white. Red, yellow, black, and white. Okay. I had to go through that. Jesus loves me. He was all of it. And the only reason that certain traits dominate is because we're inbred. I've told you before, some of the most beautiful people in the world are mixed races. God meant for us to be one. But it's not going to be one if the church keeps preaching that Jesus is a white European with blonde hair and blue eyes. He's a Jew. He had dark hair, probably dark skin, brown eyes. So tell me again about your European God. Because I reject it. That's garbage. And anybody that preaches one way or the other, Jesus wasn't a black man. But he could have been very brown. Many of the Jews we have right now came from the European families instead of those that grew up in the Middle East. And most of the Middle Easterns I see over there, they have darker skin. They have really nice skin. I got this red and blotchy, freckly. Sometimes I got hair, and then I got patches where there's no hair. And my family's supposed to be Viking, my foot. I missed out on a few things, like the size. But that's what was supposed to happen. Well, I can't be married to you. You're not the right color. I've heard people tell their children that. If you bring a black girl home, don't bring her home. Don't come home. I heard somebody say that. I was like, are you kidding me? And you're an elder in your church? You must have fell out of the stupid tree and hit every branch on the way down. Somewhere you got stuck in it. That's not God. It's not God at all. But we've created the monster. The church didn't want to talk about it. We want to talk about just how to be healed. How about you call in that new Cadillac? I'm not opposed to prosperity, folks. I need you to understand that first and foremost. I'm opposed to us not preaching Jesus. When our messages are all about getting rich, there's a problem. How about getting free? That's what Jesus said. I came to free the captive and to heal the wounded. We're not preaching that. And when people start getting stuck on blessing, 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 it's all about the blessing. No, it's not. It's about Jesus Christ. Him crucified, buried, and resurrected. That's what the gospel of Jesus is about. All that other stuff comes. That's what Matthew says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In other words, I don't have to sit here and go try to figure out the 10 steps to prosperity through the Bible. I tithe because that's what God requested in the beginning. And I'm going to tell you right now, God is good. He's faithful. So don't think for one minute, well, you know, he's abandoned. He thinks we should all be poor. Oh, absolutely not. I want you all filthy rich. But if you're going to lose your salvation over your money, I'd rather you be poor. I really would. I'd rather be poor. It's not about money. It's about people being free and finding Christ. Because this life is but a vapor. And I'm going on and on, and I know many of us have a busy day yet. So let's stand. Because I'm on the roll. And sometimes you got to figure out how to get off of it. Spend more time this week in prayer for this country. You get up every day. It doesn't have to be an hour-long prayer about it. Pray for this country. We have multiple teachers in here. They need your prayer. They're in situations that are darn near impossible. We got people in their jobs where things are changing every day. We have got to get our foot and keep our feet on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Not caught up in petty little arguments amongst ourselves over this, that. And I about half suspect I might hear somebody give me a bunch of lip about what I said about prosperity. Didn't say anything. It's just not the major push of the Bible. We're going to see God do more, but we're going to need to be able to speak what God wants into this world. And if we're not filling our hearts with his love, we aren't going to know, because we're not going to be able to pray for the person. We're going to be trying to curse the person. And I just read to you from your Bible, bless and do not curse. Amen? Now you can curse all the demons you want. Curse them stupid things, morons, cretins, derelicts. Oh, wait a minute, that's what my staff sergeant called us. Seriously, he did. Bless and do not curse. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God, we thank you that you're helping us to control our tongue. Father, first off, if it's coming off in anger, Lord God, that you'll simmer us down. Father, if it's in jealousy, that you're going to shut us down. Lord God, right now, I pray that you help us all to be able to bless and not curse. Father, if we have questions and we ask questions and we take answers and we reevaluate. So Lord, right now, move in our lives. Help us to tame this organ in our body that sets fires around the world. Now, Lord, I thank you again for this day. I know, Father, that your presence will be at this wedding. Lord, I bless it. I bless the people here today. Father God, I pray that you go with them. Father, as they go in and out of their jobs, Father, out of their home, Father, that your peace will rest with them, that your peace will stay with them, and that your peace will remain where they leave it, in Jesus' name. Amen.